Your desires, hold may be seated if you'd like. This next song is going to be new to most of you, unless I don't know that she's even played on the radio much, but it talks about being gracefully broken. And like the artist starts the song out with, she talks about how when God breaks us, it's not meant to hurt us. It's not meant to bring us down and make us weak, but it's to make us better. And he does it with such grace. And I know that I have talked about before that Paul, he says in the word that he doesn't want hardships to pass us, but he prays that our faith won't fail us. And so sometimes those hardships, they break us down and they make us into pieces, but we use those little pieces to make us stronger and to be pillars. Mm-hmm. Aren't you thankful for that when he breaks us, that he is, it's through love and it's through grace. Right. Would you worship as we sing this song?
Pouring out my life gracefully broken. Here I am, God, arms wide open. Gracefully, you're strong when I am weak. I will be free, yeah. Your power at work in me. I'm broken gracefully. You're strong when I am weak. I will be free, yeah. Your power at work in me. I'm broken gracefully. I'm strong when I am weak. I will be free, yeah. Your power at work in me. I'm broken gracefully. I'm strong when I'm strong. I will be free, yeah. Here I am, God, arms wide open. My life gracefully broken.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. If we could ask the ushers to come at this time. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for what you have in store for us this hour, Lord. I pray that you bless this offering, every faithful and cheerful giver. Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I want the world to know you are God. With a passion burning deep within, I want the world to know that you live. Like a fire shut up in my bones, I want the world to know you are God. Passion burning deep within, I want the world to know that you live. Jesus, I'm desperate for you. Jesus, I'm hungry for you. Jesus, I'm longing for you. Part of me and make me new. Let your spirit come and move within. Fill me once again, 'cause I need more. Jesus, I'm desperate for you. Jesus, I'm hungry for you. Come like the wind and sweep Jesus, I'm hungry for you. Jesus, I'm longing for you. 'Cause Lord, you are all I want. 'Cause Lord, you are all I
As you remain standing, if you have a need in the house this morning, prayer request, why don't you just slip up your hand? The Lord knows every individual need, every individual circumstance. You need to be anointed and prayed for. We ask that you would come as we begin to pray. We'll anoint and pray for you. Why don't we go to the Lord right now? Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we're so thankful that we can come to you believing and trusting in your power. How we love you, Lord. How we praise your precious name. You are so good, God. You are so good. You are so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While you're standing, grabbing your Bibles, turning to John chapter number 10. We don't say it enough, but I do want to say thank you to all those that help make service happen, from the plowing of the sidewalks, salting the steps, everything that goes into. Special thanks, Brother Duell, Brother Wallace, for getting up here early this morning and making it a little safer for each and every one of us. I realize that rather inclement weather that we have, but thank you for making it a priority to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Realize that we are later this evening, they are talking about some pretty severe weather coming into our area. However, this should be 9 o'clock or thereafter, so that will still afford us the opportunity to come together tonight at 6 o'clock for our split sessions, and so we encourage you to come. We will not hold you past 7 o'clock so that you can get out, get on your way, and get home. Make sure you're home safe before the weather begins to hit. But we just thank you for being understanding that sometimes we do have to rearrange and structure schedule a little bit differently, and so we thank you for that. I realized Wednesday night we had got up here early and tried to salt the parking lot, but it was still a pretty good sheet of ice down, and so we just felt it would be better. I don't ever make those decisions myself. I get with trustees and other influential people of the church that have an idea as to what we're dealing with via emergency responders, those that deal with the weather and the roads. And we all agree that it would probably be better not to have a service on Wednesday night and just open the church for prayer, which is what we did. And I thank you for being understanding of that. But tonight, beginning 6 o'clock, our split sessions together, and I encourage you to come and be involved therein. John chapter number 10, begin reading in verse number 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. But I say the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. Three times in this passage, the three-word phrase is used, and it is that three-word phrase that I will use as a title for the message this morning. Simply, the good shepherd. The good shepherd. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for another opportunity to be here in your house. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to open your word, God. Lord, to have it revealed unto us through study and understanding, God, the way in which you work and you deal with us, God, the love that you have for us. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, God. We love you because you first loved us, God, and that while we were yet sinners, you died for us, God, and you paid the price to purchase our salvation. And we come to give you gratitude and thanks and praise and worship, God, to acknowledge the greatness of your power, God, and what you've done for each and every one of us, your love bestowed upon us. We thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, for you are the good shepherd. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The Good Shepherd. Throughout the Bible, there are many ways in which God reveals his relationship with us, the ways he interacts with us, and how he is intimately involved in our lives. He uses parallels or metaphors, some may say allegories, throughout the word to help us understand how he deals with us. How he loves us and his faithfulness to us are often portrayed in the marriage relationship. He often depicts us as his bride, and he often shows and reveals through his word and the metaphor of marriage his love, his faithfulness, his fidelity towards you and I.
The sense of access to Him, gifts from Him, provision for us, and yes, discipline to us. He often uses in the Word the father and child relationship. He also explains that we are His sons and daughters and that He is our Father. And as our Father, He loves to give good gifts unto us. It is the Father's good pleasure to give unto us the kingdom, the Bible says. So we understand our access to Him, the gifts that we receive from Him, the provision for us, and yes, our discipline we receive from Him is often depicted in that father-child, son-daughter relationship. Also, in the sense of service and ministry, exemplified not only in His earthly ministry as He dealt with the disciples, but also throughout His Word. He talks about being a servant, and He talks about ministering unto us. And so we understand, we see this a lot of times through the Word of God in that master-servant relationship. Other areas in the Bible, Jesus used metaphors in order to portray His desires and His dealings with humanity. For instance, in Luke 13:34, as Jesus looked out over Jerusalem, those that He had came unto His own, and His own received Him not, those that He had come to give and let them understand that now is the kingdom of heaven, those that He had reached for and those that He had longed to establish that relationship with. In Luke 13:34, He looks out over the city of Jerusalem and says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not." He uses the metaphor of the relationship of a mother hen and her brood of chicks, and how that He would have reached out and He would have gathered them under His wings should they have been willing to come. While each of these parallels and metaphors are special and reveal many of the ways in which God deals with us and loves us, there is one which you probably understand from the passage that we read and hearing that I want to focus upon, that I want us to understand more deeply in service this morning. For it is an allegory in relation to how our God protects us and cares for us. A magnificent metaphor, and that although very common to the people of that day, for you and I, we should study and we should see therein that it provides for us as believers a sense of security and assurance like no other. It is special in the way that it is revealed unto us. It is special and it is comforting and it is assuring. So much so that the most common scripture cited in most funeral programs and one of the most well-known passages in all the Bible begins like this: "The Lord is my shepherd." Three times we read it in the passage of our reading for the message this morning. Three times this three-word phrase is used: "the good shepherd." As we survey this passage, we will find that here in this story, here in this allegory, the metaphor that Jesus uses to help us understand the way in which He deals with us, we will find four main players in the story. The thief, also recognized as the wolf. The sheep, the hireling, and the good shepherd. Four main players to help you and I understand the way in which God deals with us. Four, if you will, players of parts in this drama that unfolds in our lives. The first being the thief. Our adversary, the devil, the master of the forces of evil, the one who the Bible says only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The wolf. the one that seeks to destroy the sheep, the one who wants to rip us asunder, the one who desires that you and I would not be protected and cared for, the one that desires to have access to us to destroy our lives. Make no mistake, the enemy of your soul is not interested in being your buddy. He is not interested in providing for you a good life. He is interested in ripping your soul asunder. He is interested in keeping you from making heaven your home. He wants nothing more than for you to join him in the place that God designed for the devil and his angels. He wants nothing more than your ultimate destruction. He does not have any of your interest at heart. He only wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus, in talking about false prophets in Matthew 7:15, he says this: beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. In Acts 20:28-29, Paul also warns about wolves as they pertain to the flock of God. And he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Make no mistake, the thief, the wolf, desires to steal, to catch, to kill, to destroy, and to ultimately scatter the flock. Somehow inflict pain upon the shepherd by destroying the sheep. Please understand, you and I in this game of life, if you will, and I do not mean to trivialize our part. I do not in any way, shape, or form. I want you to think that I am demeaning to humanity. I am not. For God so loved the world, he loves humanity. But you and I, in a spiritual sense, without the good shepherd, we are at the mercy of the wolf. Make no mistake, I don't care how good you think you are, and I don't care how much pomp and prestige, I don't care how much influence you have in this life, I don't care what position you hold, please understand, I'm not mocking you, I'm just simply telling you in a spiritual sense, I don't care how high we think we are nothing more than sheep. Whether we hold the highest office in the land or whether we're homeless on the street, it really makes no difference in a spiritual sense. We all are sheep. And we should not think highly of ourselves in a spiritual sense. We are but sheep. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 95:7, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Also in Psalm 103, know you not that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The great prophet Isaiah, describing and talking about you and I, humanity as a whole, and our interaction and the way we often are in a spiritual sense, said this in Isaiah 53:6, and all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I realize there are many parallels and metaphors that could be made in relation to us and our being sheep. I will not get into the argument as to whether or not sheep are intelligent creatures or they are not. Some of us are, some of us aren't. Do your own research. Draw your own conclusions. But this I do know. The sheep is not an apex predator. The wolf is. I'll say that again. That's why we should be careful not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Because in a spiritual sense, I'm not an apex predator. There is an apex predator. In the spirit, the one who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He is an apex predator. I'm a sheep. Without the good shepherd, I am no match. Let me ask you this, just in a simple understanding. If one was lost in the wilderness and all of a sudden found themselves surrounded by a flock of sheep, it wouldn't exactly strike fear in your heart. Those woolly creatures. But on the other hand, if one was lost in the wilderness and they found themselves surrounded by a pack of wolves, that's a different story. It's a different understanding that the wolf is an apex predator, that yes, the wolf seeks to kill, to destroy. He wants to rend you and I to pieces. He wants our lives to be broken in his way. He wants our lives to be shattered and scattered. He wants us to be destroyed by what he's doing and how he's interacting with our lives. On our own. I know I've said it. I'll say it again. We're no match. Listen, without the Good Shepherd, I have no hope. Without one who's willing to protect me, I'm at the mercy of the apex predator. I'm at the mercy of the wolf. Oh, but you may say, well, there's hirelings, aren't there? Yeah. Matter of fact, it's a player in the part as well. Jesus makes mention of it. He says, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. So what in the passage, what do we understand as a hireling? What can we make the parallel? It's easy to understand. It's easy to see the parallel of our adversary, the thief and the wolf. It's even easy to understand that we are sheep, that we are that part. But what is a hireling? Where does that play? How does that come into this? You see, the hireling is anything or anyone that a sheep would trust for its protection from the wolf. Hireling is anything that we place our trust and our confidence in outside the Good Shepherd. A hireling, it could be a career, it could be family, it could be, there's not that are all bad things, but the reality is we don't belong to any of those things. I don't belong to my occupation. I don't belong, if in a sense, to truly to my family. We are the Lord's. We are His. He's bought us. We are bought with a price, the Bible says. He owns us, if you will. We are His sheep. We are the sheep of His pasture. He owns us. And the hireling is anything that you and I would trust for our protection from the wolf. Things that we would put our confidence in and our trust in. Things that we would establish as being what we can run to in times of trouble, what we can keep in our lives that would keep the wolf at bay. Anything that you and I would put our trust in to say that we need this or this is applicable in our lives to keep the wolf away would be a hireling. Jesus said you need to understand something about hireling. First thing is, he doesn't own the sheep. He doesn't have that possessive feeling. He cares for himself. The hireling is the employee. Oh, it's all about what's in it for him or what's in it for that. It's not. Listen, many of the things that we ascribe our lives to and we place our trust in, we place our confidence in, there's a reason why that many times when the going gets tough, those things get going. There's a reason why that we find ourselves after investing our time and our effort and our resources into things and people and relationships and careers and hobbies and all these different things that give us some element of confidence and trust that we'll be able to keep it all together. It's amazing how that when the things get rough, all of a sudden those things seem so futile and seem not to be able to protect us from the destruction that's starting to wage in our life. And it's amazing how those things we placed our confidence in and our trust in that we thought would be able to keep us and secure us all of a sudden. Let me ask you this. What happens to a world when those things that they have placed their confidence in, when those things begin to fade away? Where do they turn? did they do? Where did they go when those things that they trusted in that would always be there and always provide for them and always keep the wolf at bay and keep destruction from coming into their lives? What happens when those things are no longer there? What happens when those things see if the wolf coming and, as Jesus said, they flee? They're gone. They're no longer there to protect you. They no longer have your best interest at heart. You put all that time and all that effort and all those resources and you invested all those things into the hireling, but the hireling doesn't really care for the sheep. The hireling does its thing and goes its way. Then the wolf comes. The Bible says he catcheth the sheep. He scatters the flock. All because I placed my trust in something that really didn't care for me. All because I placed my confidence in something or someone that didn't really care for me. All because my confidence and my assurance that I was going to be okay when things got rough and destruction made its way into my life, they ran. No longer there. Support that I once got, the strength that I once maintained from those things is gone. I got nothing. Now I feel the teeth of the wolf as they rip into my life. And oh, if I could have only had the good shepherd. If I could have only have trusted the one who truly cares for me. If I only could have placed my confidence and my trust in the one that said, the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. The first thing you need to understand about the Good Shepherd is that he is not involved in your life, or he doesn't want to be involved in your life to make your life a drudgery. He doesn't want to be involved in your life to make it no fun. He wants to be involved in your life so that you know what life truly is and that you have it more abundant. Goes on to say in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And I've always read it in this way. And I believe it still indirectly points to this. But this scripture is often used in relation to Jesus dying on Calvary for us. And while this certainly parallels, I believe the real understanding in this passage and in the context with which Jesus gives it, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The real understanding in this passage is just how fiercely he protects us. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You need to understand just how fiercely I will protect you. You need to understand how abundantly I care for you. You need to understand the rod and the staff are there to comfort you. How do they comfort me? They keep the wolves away. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I know it's said somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but you need to understand the good shepherd would die and did die before he would allow the thief to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The hireling will cut and run. The things you put your trust in will let you down, but the good shepherd will never leave you nor forsake you. As long as you remain in his fold, you need to understand he'll never let you down. He'll help you weather every storm. He'll be there when the going gets tough. You will find him there working in your life. He is the good shepherd. Had the awesome opportunity to go on Thursday night. I was actually on business in Louisiana and made it to the hotel room. And out of curiosity, I knew that a conference that's very popular among our movement called Because of the Times was happening in Alexandria. I wasn't really sure how far away I was from Alexandria, so I pulled up on my phone and found that I was only 45 minutes. So I casually put on Facebook. It was a registration-only kind of conference. You had to have a ticket to get in, and so I just put it out there in Facebook world. Hey, if anybody's got a ticket they'd be willing to part with, I'd love to be able to go to the conference. Matter of moments, I started fielding some messages and phone calls. Brother Volan, who is no stranger to this church, a good friend of mine, texted me and said, hey, can you go? I can get you in. I called him. I said, well, you can get me in. He said, well, actually, pastor can get you in. He's there. He can get you a seat, so head on that way. I was like, all right. So I got up, started getting, didn't have the time to shave. I'm in jeans and a sport coat, and I'm just going. On my way, he sends me the ticket stub in front row, and I'm like, whoa. I don't know about all that. I get there, and awesome move of God. And first speaker of the night gets up. They caution people about using their phones and broadcasting who he is, putting his name out there. They reveal he is a missionary to the Middle East. He's a Christian, preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified to 8 different Muslim countries. The title of his message was Apostolic Context. He took us to 2 places in the Bible. I will take you there as well, Matthew 10 and Luke 10. He says, we talk a lot about being apostolic. We use different words to define what it means to be apostolic. And we talk about the power of apostolic ministry, and rightly so. And we talk about apostolic doctrine, and rightly so. And we talk about apostolic lifestyle, and rightly so. And we all sheep, we talk about each other's wool. That's a joke. He's talking about all these things that mean to be apostolic, or we use in relation to being apostolic. And he makes no bones. He said, those things are well and good. I'm not speaking against those things. He said, but when I look into the Bible and I try to find where Jesus used the term apostello, which is the word from which we get apostolic, he said, there's only 2 places in all the Bible where Jesus uses the word apostello, from which we get our word apostolic. We are, in case you didn't know this, First Apostolic Church of Sandwich. It's the title of the church. He said, but the only 2 places in the Bible that reference that word in relation to Jesus is found in Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter 10. And he read those 2 verses, and I read them for you here this morning. Matthew 10, 16. Behold, I send you forth, I apostello you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Luke 10, go your ways. The first was in reference to the 12 disciples that Jesus sends out. The second in Luke chapter 10 is in reference to the 70 disciples which Jesus sends out. And he says, go your ways. I send you forth. I apostello you as lambs among wolves. A Jesus name Christian preacher who is living this got up and said, the reality is, in our apostolic movement, we have become so comfortable and complacent that we neglect to realize that the context of being apostolic is a sheep among wolves. We look at the New Testament church. And what you will see in those believers in the New Testament church is those in constant danger. Being in prison, being beaten. They were sheep among wolves. I tell you, conviction swept over that place. As this man who is living this, endangering his life and the life of his family every time he preaches Jesus in a Muslim country. It's been a while since I felt the power of God that I felt when this man began to pray in Arabic. He
He says, you need to know that Jesus loves Muslims too, but unless you're willing to be a sheep among wolves, they will not hear the message. He said, they're coming to your city. They're coming to your places of employment. They're coming. I stood there and I thought to myself, God, sending sheep among wolves is suicide. Behold, I send you forth as sheep among wolves. Thanks. Sheep, apex predators. Doesn't look good. I send you as lambs among wolves. Come on, Jesus, that's suicide. You send us out there to be torn. You send us out there to be ridiculed and mocked and persecuted. That's what it means to be apostolic. To simply be concerned with survival. A sheep among wolves, his greatest concern is simply surviving. And sending sheep among wolves is suicide. Unless, of course, there is a good shepherd. They came back and said, I beheld, as it were, Satan falling from heaven. What are you saying? You need to understand that though I am no match for the wolf, and though the thief could have his way with me at any moment, you need to understand there is still the good shepherd. And me going out among wolves by myself is sheer suicide. But of course there is the good shepherd. And I'm thankful that I've come to depend and rely, and I need to do it more. Listen, I'm just going to be straight up with you. I'm not interested. And don't think this hasn't been troubling me. Think that I really want to go to the south side of Chicago? Oh, y'all smile. That's a sheep among wolves. I'm not saying on a racial thing. You need to understand where violence and that type of activity is, and the evil is rampant. You need to understand something. That's what Jesus is saying. That's the reality of what it truly means to be apostolic. Is it, are you willing to trust the good shepherd enough? For the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and there's wolves on either side, and they're snarling, and they're baring their teeth, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, you don't need to just know and hear about the good shepherd at a funeral. You need to know about him every day of your life. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He is the good shepherd. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Suffice it all to say this. If I truly understand how good the shepherd is, I don't have to take thought for my life. What I should eat, what I should drink, what I should wear. If I truly understand the provision power and the protection power of the good shepherd, I don't have to worry about my life. He's the good shepherd. This man who is living this on a almost day-to-day basis. Who testified of going to Libya in the midst of three government factions fighting for control and civil war and just mass chaos. There in Libya, there was an underground church of believers that got in touch with him and asked him to come. And they told him, said, we don't know how you're going to get here, but we'd love to have you. They've cut all airline traffic here, but if you could get here, it's the third largest city in Libya. 10 days before he was supposed to go, he said, I'm going to try to get there, sent word back. I'll try to be there on this day. Sheep among wolves. 10 days before he's supposed to go, Turkish Airlines opened air flight, not to the largest city in Libya, not to the second largest city in Libya, but to the third largest city in Libya where he was to go. He gets there. He walks outside. He says, every building has destruction. There's bullet holes in every building. He said, 10-year-olds are driving cars down the street with Kalashnikovs hanging out the window. He said, it's mass chaos. Being led, and you hear gunfire. He said it was a war zone, and I go thinking, God, I gotta live this. And I get close to the metal gate, and I hear just beyond this metal gate, I hear people praying to Jesus. He said, I begin to minister in that church, and people are baptized, receive the Holy Ghost. There's healings that take place, and at the end, they come and present to him a plaque. He said, it's one of my most cherished possessions. He said, but it's interesting because the plaque is completely blank. I told him, they said, brother, we're so grateful and thankful that you've come and you've ministered to us, but for your safety and for the sake of our church, we can't put anything on the plaque. We just want you to know how much we appreciate you. Sheep among wolves. I'm so thankful for the Good Shepherd. I'm so thankful for the Good Shepherd. You can place your hope in Him. You can place your trust in Him. He'll protect you. He'll keep the wolves at bay. He'll watch over you. May he have to use his rod at times and the shepherd hook to pull you back in line, yes. But it's because he loves you. He wants to keep you from straying. He doesn't want you to make your way into the flock of a hireling because the hireling doesn't care for you like he does. He doesn't want you to put your trust in other things in this life because they will let you down. He will never leave nor forsake you. He is the Good Shepherd. Come to the Good Shepherd. Walk away from the flock under a hireling. For the wolf awaits to steal, to kill, and destroy. But he's here that you might have life and that more abundantly. He is the Good Shepherd. These altars are open. If nothing else, can you come and thank him that he is the Good Shepherd, that he watches over you, that he protects and provides for you. God is my shepherd.
Awesome. He can move the mountains, keep me in the valley, hide me from the rain.
I don't know what you're going to face tomorrow. I don't know what you're going to face next week. I don't know what danger you may be in, but this I do know. There is a good shepherd who will protect you, who will keep you, who will lead you in the ways of righteousness.
My God is awesome. He can move mountains.
Why not give him a chance? Why not taste and see that the Lord is good? Why not give it a try to see the goodness of the shepherd? It is the goodness of God which leads men to repentance. It is the understanding that he gives his life for the sheep.
Forever he will reign. Awesome.
Oh yes, he is.
Awesome. Awesome. My God is awesome.
Awesome.
Jesus said this, you're sending them out as sheep in the midst of wolves. He said they'll deliver you up into councils. They'll scourge you in their synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake. When they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. It is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. When the 70 came back, the Bible says they rejoiced and they said that even the devils were subject to them. Reported to Jesus, even the devils are subject to us in your name. They could snarl. They could bare their teeth, but they couldn't do anything. Why? Because the Good Shepherd was there. Do I realize and recognize the thief has no power to steal or kill, to destroy, as long as the Good Shepherd is present? No matter what I have to go through, no matter what I deal with, no matter what danger I may find myself in, there is the protection of the Good Shepherd. Countless stories and testimonies from missionaries and others that found themselves in the midst of danger, but all of a sudden there was
power and provision, which made a way of escape, brought them out. He'll do that for them. When you walk into your workplace and you may feel like I'm walking into a den of wolves, understand the Good Shepherd is with you. He is the Good Shepherd. One more time, can we lift our hands and lift our voices? I'm so thankful. No matter what I approach or what approaches me, I have the confidence and assurance that my security is not in and of myself. It's reality that the Good Shepherd is there. My Lord and my God is there to lead me, to guide me, to protect me in the way. I'm thankful that you are the Good Shepherd.
Yes.
I bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. Go with the understanding that you are under the watchful eye and protection of the Good Shepherd. God bless you this morning. You may go in Jesus' name.
So we actually have a birthday today. Josh Kellum's birthday is today. And I actually remembered. A happy birthday to you. A happy